There we go. We're actually live. Believe it or not, I never thought that we would be doing an impromptu show on a Friday night. Me wired on eight coffees, just done the bloody washing. It's a shoot the defence, Sofa Sports News crossover show. It's an Arsenal versus Manchester United preview. I'm hosting with Harry and Kiri. So, gentlemen, thank you for jumping on at such short notice. How you guys doing?
Yeah, all
Yeah,
good
good.
still. It's not like we've got social lives or anything, so we was bound to be at home on a Friday night. Don't worry about
Yeah, but
it.
you were watching something when you're watching the Italian football.
Yeah, I was watching Napoli Juventus. A bit disappointed by the result, but
What score?
what can we do? Juve won 1-0. So
Oh, yeah, they're going to win the league again, aren't
yeah,
they?
it looks like it. It looks that way, definitely.
Oh well. Oh well. Right. So yeah, let's talk about this game that's happening tomorrow. It's an evening kickoff, so no doubt BT Sports will be all over it. We'll have Rio Ferdinand and his expert boxing opinion, I guess. So let's talk about the form from both sides going into this game, because you guys 100% record at home. Tell me about your season so far, because obviously we know you've had lots of ups and downs so far. You've had the Wenger in, the Wenger out, hokey cokey, as we like to call it. Your first game was against Leicester. You beat them 4-3, very entertaining. Tell me about your season so far.
Do you want me to start, Kieran?
Yeah, you can start.
So I think our season, like you said, it's been up and down. We've threatened to get going a couple of times, and then we've had a couple of setbacks. Obviously, right at the very start of the season, we had those two setbacks, at the one at Anfield and the one at Stoke. We sort of recovered, and then Watford came, and we lost that. We lost the City as well. It's one of those things in this league. If you put a run together, you can get yourself back where you need to be. And we've won two, three games on the spin, and then all of a sudden the outlook changes. So it's hard with Arsenal, because I think we're never more than 45 minutes away from a crisis.
Disaster, yeah.
And it's really easy for everyone to go into meltdown and start blaming Wenger. And I think you just got to keep a cool head, really. Don't know about you, Kiri, but that's how I see it so far.
Well, just like most of the recent seasons, it's been a slow start, and our problem has been away from home this season. Our home form hasn't been the problem. It's just 2 wins away from home hasn't been good enough so far. 4 defeats on the road, so I think that's where the problem lies at the moment, and where we need to improve.
It's been a bit of an unprepared start again, hasn't it? We
It
started
is
the
every
season
year.
without central defenders
It isn't.
again for sort of the second, third season
Well,
in
we're
a row
going to
now.
every season unprepared, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. What
Yeah.
about you, Stel? What about Manchester United from a Man United point of view? All started great, didn't it?
Yeah, listen, we'll scoring goals left, right, and centre. They started calling him Jose Forinho, didn't they? The idiots on Twitter. It's easy to get carried away. I mean, I'm not sure if you've seen my videos on full time reactions, but that Mems does. And I've said every week, United are average. And a lot of United fans have got on my back saying that. They're like, how can you say that? We've got some quality players. I'm like, yeah, well, think about Man City at the moment, who are, I hate to admit, they're the best team in the world at the moment, I think, anyway. You look at that United team that we got at the moment on the squad. How many of those players would get into Man City's team? I can't think of many. De Gea, possibly, but Ederson's doing very well. Pogba, I'd say, would get in their team. No doubt he'd slot in easy. But apart from that, who else? Matic, perhaps. He's been our best player, I think, this season. But we started off reasonably well, wins, wins, wins against teams that we should be beating. And then came Huddersfield, which I think was our biggest test, because it was away from home, it's against a team that's just come up. They were up for it. And the game, well, I knew exactly where the game was going to go in the second minute, from the second minute, when Martial got kicked by their right back. And he was just like, I don't fancy it. And that's when you see the rest of the team, you're thinking, who's going to grab the game by the scruff of the neck? The only person, again, that was really pulling his weight was Matic. Lindelof had a nightmare that day, which made it even worse. And Mkhitaryan, again, he's another player who I don't want to go into him, because I slate him every week, but he just doesn't do enough for me. So, in answer to your question, I think we started off pretty well. And to be where we are now, I'm still happy, even though the gap is just getting bigger. But going back to your team, I mean, you guys mentioned the defensive crisis at the beginning of the season. I remember when you guys won the FA Cup. A lot of people felt that it was going to be Wenger's final game. He then stayed on. A lot of fans were deflated. A lot were thinking, well, you know, we just got to grin and bear it for the time being until he decides to go. And then here comes Lacazette, and everyone's happy again. And I said to Chig, beginning of the season, I said, you guys need to spend at least £200 million to have a chance of competing for the title. With the squad that you guys have got now, do you think that you can compete, or is this just like you're challenging for Champions League spots?
I think first and foremost, we need to get back into those Champions League positions. I think it's vital for sort of the future of the club. You've seen the financial sort of benefits that clubs get from it. I feel like, and I don't want to keep going back to this, but I feel like when I saw the AGM, Kiri will probably agree, you just got the impression that there's only one man at Arsenal Football Club that knows anything about football. And even if, you know, we disagree with some of his methods, and I am Wenger out, like, you just realise the magnitude of the job he's doing. Like, he's having to juggle the media, the board, an unhappy group of fans. You know, we've got two players there, our two star players, and they won't sign contracts at the moment. And it's like a really difficult situation. And to be fair to him, he's just got on with it. And
yeah,
you know what? If he makes him stay, then for the good of the club, then we can't fault him as fans because he's doing what's right for the team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think as well, if I'd rather keep the likes of Sanchez and Ozil and let them go for nothing, to be honest, instead of going January, because you might as well keep them to the end of the season. They could be the difference between, say, winning a trophy or finishing in the Champions League spot. I think, going back to the question you asked, I think we're not challenging for the league. I don't think anyone is at the moment. So I think the best we can hope for is a Champions League spot this season. And I do think one way or another, we will be in the Champions League next year. That's just my feeling.
It's the same situation with us last season, whereby we knew that top four was a possibility. But with the players that we had and the form that we had last season, in the sense that we should have been winning games and we weren't. We were getting nil-nils and 1-1s and this and that. And it came to a point where our full focus turned from going into the Champions League through the league to going through via the Europa League. Exactly. The difference is with you guys is that I don't think you lot will be in that position, because the way that teams like Spurs are going and the way that Liverpool are in terms of their inconsistencies, I can see you guys like slipping in. You know, it's like almost like back to square one again, where you just slip in at the last minute. You know, it's like going to a nightclub and when the bouncers are looking, you get in and you still get your trainers on. You're happy, you know. So I can see you lot doing it. And you mentioned earlier, Harry, like Arsenal can string a run of wins together. Yeah. I've been saying this for years. I mean, if you look back at Chris's shows that I've done with Chig, I said to him, Arsenal are one of the few clubs that the back end of the season, the business end of the season, they can string 8, 9, 10 games winning and just, again, slip through the net kind of thing. So I don't think you lot are as badly positioned as people make out to be. It's as you, just reiterating what you said at the beginning of the show, a lot of people like to make a mountain out of a molehill. Things aren't really as bad as what they seem on the pitch. I just think that loss against Liverpool, the way that you guys lost, it kind of gave, you know, the doubters, the impetus, or it added fuel to the fire, so to speak. So they're like, oh yeah, this one's rubbish, this one's that rubbish, Wenger out, whatever. But it's just one performance. And then I think you've won every home game, haven't you? So it hasn't been that bad.
No, I think the thing is with Arsenal, I think with us as supporters as well, I think everyone knows what we're capable of. It's the problem is the consistency. And it's going back to like games like Liverpool. I mean, they've happened quite a few times over the years as well, and they'll probably happen again. So that's just what I think. So I think we've been on a good run at the moment, but I'm kind of sitting there waiting for it to go the other way as well. Because you know it's coming.
But that's the exact sort of like negativity that I'm talking about. And I'm not saying Kiri goes up and down the country. I don't. Kiri travels up and down the country. He was in Cologne the other night. Kiri goes everywhere. And you know, more of our supporters need to have sort of that positive attitude. And you know what? We will get beat. It's football. Teams will lose games. But what the frustrating thing is at Arsenal is that a single defeat can turn into a crisis. The season's over. Do you know what I mean? It's so over the top. Mm. And I think with Man United as well, you know, I think people are waiting for Man United to fail now. Since Fergie left, I think that's always been the case. Everyone else looks from the outside and says, you know, waiting for Man United to fail. Like, Moyes was a disaster. Van Gaal won a cup, I suppose. Got to give him that. Mourinho done well last season. And Mourinho will win things, and people will point to his style of football, which is a bit unfair because at the end of the day, it's a results business.
Mm. Well, yeah, you hit the nail right on there. Then the thing is, I agree with the whole David Moyes thing. And the thing is, I'm one of the few Man United fans that will point the finger of blame to Fergie. And I know some people might be raising their eyebrows and say, "Well, he's done so much for the club." But what Alex Ferguson did was I wouldn't say it's similar to what Wenger's doing, or Wenger's doing something similar in the sense that Fergie's like, "I've taken the club as far as I can take them, as far as I've done as much as I can, so it's time for me to take something back." You know, he fell out with JP McManus and Magna about the bloody horse over horse spunk, mind. They got pissed off. They sold the club to the Glazers. And Fergie being Fergie, he's not going to step down. In fact, he actually said, "If the Glazers take over, I walk." But why didn't he? So, again, the finger of blame has to be pointed in. But and people say to me, "Oh, yeah, but you won Champions Leagues under the Glazers. You won league titles." It wasn't because of the Glazers. It's in spite of the Glazers. Yeah. That's the difference. Ferguson was a fantastic man manager. He wasn't a great tactician. It's not. It's plain to see. Every season every other season, he changes back his coach because he had new ideas. He had Kieros, he had Walter Smith, he had Phelan. So he was forever evolving. And he got a few things wrong. And it was an outstanding manager, don't get me wrong. But when he did that speech at the end of the season, his final game, he said, "I'm leaving the club in good hands." And you look at that squad, Rafael, Fabio, Bebe. I mean, how is this squad in good hands?
Mm. And if we're led to believe that he had the big sort of say in the appointment of David Moyes as well, which obviously
there you go. In fact, it was him and Bobby Charlton that didn't want Mourinho. Mourinho was out of work at the time, and it's a fact that Mourinho was very, very upset that David Moyes got the job because he wanted it. But Bobby Charlton didn't want him because of his antics and the whole thing with Villanova back in the day with the thumb in the eye kind of thing, and which I can understand. But then again, it's like Jonas Jever said on the show a while back, you don't bring in Mourinho to play pretty football or to have a great reputation. You bring him in because you win when he's here. And that's what he does. He wins you games just by being the person that he is. And I think Mourinho has worked wonders with the squad that he's had. I mean, okay, people will say Van Gaal spent a lot of money, which is fair. However, if you look at the spending from when we sold Ronaldo, in fact, let's say from when we signed Berbatov to when Van Gaal came in and he spent all that money on Di Maria, Stoke and Aston Villa actually had a bigger net spend than us in that time. So that tells you enough in terms of our spending during those four or five seasons. So we've suffered a lot from a squad perspective. You know, our youth system isn't great. We produce two, three half decent players. I mean, Rashford has obviously been a star, but Lingard hasn't been great. He's 24. You think he's younger than that? He's 24. You know, he's the same age as Pogba, and he's nowhere near his level. So there's a lot of things that have happened in the background. Underspending in the youth academy, the facilities, the squad hasn't been great. You know, I mean, David De Gea was our best player for two seasons on the trot. So that says it all. And then you look at the players that we've got, Phil Jones, Chris Smalling. You know, I could go on forever, the crap that Mourinho's had to work with. So when I joke, I say in jest that Mourinho's a fantastic manager because he won two trophies with players like Daley Blin. I'm actually not taking the piss because how many managers can get the best out of those players? I mean, they're not great. Would you lot have Daley Blin in your team? Would you have Phil Jones? Would you have Chris Smalling? You know, I'm not trying to be funny, but you know, he's got to be a half decent manager if he can get the best out of these players. I mean, Smalling has been fantastic recently. It's just been one of those situations where, as you guys are right, you know, people watching United in the hope that they lose and take the piss, which is understandable. There you go. But then again, you know, United and Arsenal have always had this rivalry stemming back to the 70s, the 80s, and obviously there was the 21-man brawl at Old Trafford, which I think the only person that stayed out was David Seaman. sitting there admiring it all, really. And we've had some really classic games. I mean, people are going to point to, obviously, the FA Cup semi-final with Giggs' goal, but then, you know, there's the Viltord goal, there was the Henri goal. for you guys. So let's talk about tomorrow's game anyway. How do you think you guys will line up?
Do you want to go first?
Well, predicting Wenger's starting 11 is very difficult. But if I had to predict it, I'd say it's the same team from the other night against Huddersfield, bar Lacazette and Giroud in.
So who would you bring in? Welbeck?
I wouldn't even mind seeing Alexis start up top tomorrow or Danny Welbeck, one or the other, because I'd rather play that little bit of pace in behind. Someone who's going to play on the shoulder. Someone who's going to give him a bit of movement and a bit of problems, personally, myself. But I think he'll go with Giroud.
So what we're saying is check in goal, Monreal, Cushion, Mustafi, Bellerin, Kolasinac,
Shaka Ramsey,
Ozil,
Sanchez,
Welbeck. That's what we would go. That's what I would go with. I'd go with Welbeck. Not because I don't like Giroud. I think he's a great... I think Giroud is the best second-choice striker you can get. But I just feel like the way United are going to play, I think we need to harass their centre-backs. We need to be on them quickly, press them quickly, and I think Welbeck and Sanchez up top will give you that, whereas Giroud is a different threat completely.
Completely agree.
What about you, Still? How do you see United lining up?
Do you know, I did my lineup today and then I completely forgot that. Well, sorry, I completely didn't know that Fellaini was injured, because my team would have been practically almost the same as Watford. I'd have gone with De Gea in goal, my three central, I'd have gone a 3-5-2 or however you want to call it, 5-3-2, 3-5-2. That's how I think he's going to line up. Same three centre backs, Rojo, Smalling, and Lindelof. Wing backs would be Valencia and Young. My three midfielders, I'd have thought he was going to select Matic, Fellaini and Pogba, because Matic and Fellaini would have had that physicality. I don't think Ramsey and Xhaka would have liked it. So those two in the team would have been fantastic for us. Pogba in behind pulling the strings. But with Fellaini out, I think he's going to go for the Spanish cleverly. I think Herrera is going to come in.
Spanish cleverly, I like that.
Yeah, just for the fact that he's going to run around and just... You know what? I'd like to know the odds of Xhaka and Herrera getting booked. Or even... Or even the odds of who's going to commit the most stupid, petulant fouls. Because both of them are in the same boat. They can't tackle for shit, can they?
No.
But Herrera just runs around and he's like a little hound, isn't he? So I think he'll probably go Matic, if Matic is fit. Matic, Herrera and Pogba. And up front, I think it will go Rashford and Lukaku. People were saying, well, what about Martial? But I don't think Jose trusts Martial in a central striking role. I think Martial is far more effective out wide. Same as Walker is for you guys. But you mentioned Giroud earlier. There's one thing I've got to say about Giroud, and it might surprise you. I actually think he's one of the best, if not the best, at finishing with one touch. Have you seen the goals that he scores with one touch?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Jesus. I mean, I saw a video of him the other week and of his goals for Arsenal. And I didn't watch all of them, but all the ones that were first touch, they're phenomenal. Like outside of the boot, on the volley, like he's one of the most underrated strikers in the league.
For the near post as well.
We was actually speaking about this before we even knew this show was going to happen. We were sitting there talking about it and we were saying how effective he is, you know, in those games in particular where you're playing against a narrow defence, a stubborn team playing deep, sunk into their own box, you know, and in those particular games, you tend to get more time on the ball in the wide areas. And if you can put the ball in the right area, you can bet that if Giroud is on the pitch, he's going to get on the end of something. And he's really effective at that. I just feel like in tomorrow's game, I don't feel that is the way we should start. But, you know, if things don't go our way or we're a goal down or whatever, he's a fantastic option to bring on. And I'm really happy we managed to keep him despite signing Lacazette. Like, I think he's a fantastic option.
The problem is, I think, like, he's got a lot of stick while he's at Arsenal. I think Arsenal needed a striker like Lacazette, somebody with a bit of pace, clinical finisher. But what Giroud's strengths that he has, he's very, very good at. All right, he's not like your typical number nine, who's someone like Lacazette, but he has a lot of strengths. Like his link-up play, he holds the ball up well, he brings others into play, he's good in the air. Like his strengths, he's very, very good.
He has the physical attributes, but he's also technically a very good player. And people sometimes don't give him enough credit for that, I think.
Mm, I agree.
Yeah, I think it's a shame that he's more of a backup option these days, because, as you said, he offers so much. I remember he scored against us last season. You know, you weren't in the game. We had chance after chance, which was our problem last season. We weren't finishing our chances. I think we could have won 3 or 4-0 against you guys. But as it stood, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain puts in the ball of his life. And who's on the end of it? Giroud. And
we're still waiting for his next one.
There you go. Every cross he puts in is fucking all over the place. But, you know, I just think tomorrow's game, if you guys are going to go with that lineup that you chose, it's going to be all about build-up play. You're not going to be putting balls in the box because apart from Welbeck, I can't see where the aerial threat's going to come. And let's be 100% honest, we've got Smalling, Rojo and Lindelof there, plus possibly Matic. There's four players that can clear that ball.
Another point as well, when it comes to Arsenal and when Giroud plays, and this could backfire on us tomorrow, I feel like when Giroud plays, you then see Aaron Ramsey's the most undisciplined central midfield player around, no doubt about it. But when Giroud plays, you need somebody to get up there with him, to play off of him. Ramsey, and it's often Ramsey who makes those late runs and tries to get close to Giroud. Mm. Now, if Giroud does play and we play that type of game, my worry is that Ramsey will get sucked into that sort of thing and try and play off Giroud, then we could end up exposed in the middle of the park. So perhaps it's better if we don't go with that sort of game plan, I think, anyway.
I agree, but I feel sorry for someone like Aaron Ramsey. He's another one who gets a lot of stick, where I'm a massive Aaron Ramsey fan and always have been.
Well, when you think about it, he scored the winning goal in, what, 2 cup finals now? Mm. Jack Wilshere has never done anything in an Arsenal shirt, yet he's the darling of our supporters. I don't get that.
But it's the same with us at United, Harry, because you've got a lot of United fans that love Lingard and Rashford. Is it because they're products of the youth academy? Because with the greatest respect to them, right, I look at Fellaini, and I know people think I take the piss about it, but I actually really, really rate him because he's one of these players. And if you look at what he's achieved at United from a personal standpoint, right, if you look at the goals that he scored, the goals that he's had a hand in, these have been vital goals. I mean, he assisted Mata in the FA Cup final, which got the equaliser. He set up Pogba for the goal in the Europa League final. He scored the goal against Celta Vigo, which effectively put us through. He scored a winner against Man City. He scored a winner against Crystal Palace, which got us into the Champions League under Van Gaal. So he gets a lot of stick. He's not a fantastic footballer, but what he does it effectively. And it's the same with Aaron Ramsey. He's not like the best ball player in the world, but he seems to be at the right place at the right time. And I think it's unfair how the stick that he gets from a lot of Arsenal fans, because I think he's a very talented midfielder. The same with Xhaka. I mean, people will laugh, but he's one of the best passers of the ball. And I've been saying this for a long time about him, because Wenger's always been a fan of Michael Carrick's. And he's made no secret about it. So bringing in someone like Xhaka made perfect sense, because he can distribute the ball. He's got great range of passing. Okay, defensively, he's not great. He ball watches a lot, but he's still young. He can develop. That's part of his game that, you know, you can always step up, you know? And it's all about the right coaching. So I think players like Xhaka, players like Ramsey, players like Elneny, they do a job. But because they're not products of the youth academy and they're not, you know, you cut me and I bleed red, they seem to be overshadowed by players like your Wilshere's and your Lingard's, which I just cannot understand.
The thing is, with somebody like Ramsey as well, I kind of feel sorry for him in the sense that since he's been at Arsenal, he hasn't really had a consistent midfield partner next to him who brings a good balance to the midfield. Like, ideally, you've got Ramsey, who's a box-to-box midfielder, and next to him is Xhaka, who's not a holding midfield player. And then before that, he's had Coquelin. As good as him and Cazorla are together, both individually, they never really worked together.
So
I feel a bit sorry for him in that sense, that he's never really had a consistent midfield partner next to him who can get the balance right between them.
I think it's not just a problem with Arsenal or Man United. I think it's a problem in the game where, you know, people's opinions are influenced by the wrong things. Mm. And rather than just sitting down and watching the player for what they are, and judging them on that, like Pogba, still, you was talking about Pogba, and I know you spoke to him the other day and stuff, and people, when Pogba first came, the first thing was like, oh, what a waste of money. But then when he was missing from United's team, you realise massive impact he has in that side. Mm. And it's just, I don't know, I feel like some people are blinded by social media. And
I know, but I think some
of those pundits.
I think someone like Jack Wilshere as well is that, you know, you look at him and you know how good he can actually be. And he's had his injury problems. And like you said, he's come through the youth academy. He's been at the club since he was 10 years old. And he does genuinely care. So I can see why he's loved by the fans. I love him myself. But I know I get your point as well. No, I'm not. But yeah, I can see both sides to it as well.
Yeah,
fair enough. But you've got, you know, every team has got a lot of unsung heroes. I think Monreal has been absolutely fantastic.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Consistent.
Yeah,
he's like your Dennis Irwin in that sense. You know, he's like an eight out of ten player. You know, he rarely puts a foot wrong. You can trust him in practically any position. I mean, who'd have thought that a Spanish international left back who did very well, was it Malaga he was at, wasn't he, before Arsenal? Yeah, and he all of a sudden he's their central defender. I mean, who'd have thought that? But,
I actually think that move has benefited him massively.
Yeah, I agree.
Because one of my criticisms of him in the past and when he first joined Arsenal was not that he couldn't defend. It was that on the odd occasion, someone would just knock the ball past him and roast him.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's got that added security of having two centre-halves next to him. He's not going one-on-one with wingers. I think it's worked. It's been mutually good, that move, for the club and him.
It's like going back to, I said this at the end of last season as well to somebody, like, going back to, like, games like last season when we were on that bad run and people saying there's no leaders in the Arsenal team, there's no one who will shout around or point the finger. But I remember games away to, like, Crystal Palace, West Brom, and when we were on a bad run, when we conceded goals, Monreal was actually the only one who would actually go and scream at the other defenders. He was the one who literally genuinely looked upset.
Yeah.
And he was the only one. Yeah. And I realised that last season, he never really, like, people like pundits or the media on Match of the Day said they're all, none of them care, none of them have got any leadership or like any passion, but he didn't really get like mentioned for that. I know it's a little thing to say, but I realised at the end of last season as well.
Yeah, and you're at the away game. Yeah. You see it first.
I remember when we conceded goals in games, I'd look around at them after hearing people say that, and I did notice Monreal was actually the only one.
Yeah.
Mm. But you've got players like that, don't you? Because, you know, every club, look, you do want 11 players that go on that pitch that are going to give their all. I mean, David Moyes, I mean, I rarely agree with him, but he said it the other day, you know, players working hard is a given. They have to. It's not about patting them on the back saying, well done, you work hard. No, you have to. But unfortunately, the way that the game has gone, you do have a lot of players that down tools. I mean, it happened at United under Moyes. It happened under Van Gaal. I mean, I'm sure it's happened a few times at Arsenal under Wenger. A few players now that really shouldn't be at the team. And listen, we can reel a list of players that you feel shouldn't be at Arsenal, and I could do the same for United.
Yeah,
but the fact of the matter is, we've got to play with the cards that we're dealt with. And you know, Monreal is one of those unsung heroes. You know, you've had them in the past. I mean, you had, you know, players like Nigel Winterburn and Lee Dixon, Ray Parlour, Freddie Ljungberg. I mean, Freddie Ljungberg was an outstanding player. People don't realise how much he brought to the Arsenal team in terms of a work ethic, what he did off the ball. Mm. Okay, fair enough, he had the stupid red hair, but I mean, isn't it? You look at players like Pogba, they do the same sort of thing. So a lot of footballers these days, social media see them for the razzmatazz. They see them for the flicks, the tricks, like your Aubameyangs, those kind of players. You know, your Neymars. Neymar's a fantastic player. I don't even know why I put him in the same category as Aubameyang. He's a fucking speed merchant. But, you know, they don't value footballers that work hard. I mean, players like Ji-Sung Park, for example. Players like even John O'Shea. I mean, people will laugh, but John O'Shea was a fantastic servant for United. If you wanted him to play at left back, he played. Right back, he played. Centre back, yep. Centre midfield, even winning goal once. So, you know, it's not as if he's a... You need these players. They're squad players and they work hard and they give you that extra bit of security.
You do. The only thing that frustrates me sometimes, and I've noticed and I've said this numerous times when I've been at the Emirates, is like, and at any football game, not even just the Emirates, but, you know, a great bit of skill sometimes gets less of a reaction from the crowd than a hard slide.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And it just goes to show you, like, what the fans want. Like, the majority of fans want to see go out there and leave everything on the pitch rather than.
I think that's an English mentality as well, though.
I think so too. I think that's something to.
It is. But then again, when you see and hear things about footballers just walking off the pitch without applauding the fans who have travelled 300-400 miles round trip, do you know what I mean? It is disappointing. It really is disappointing. But let's move on. Two more quick things, right? First of all, where do you guys think the game will be won and lost? Well, where do you think your strengths are? Where are United's weaknesses and vice versa?
I think the game will be decided in the midfield. Mm. I actually
cliche, Harry.
But I actually worry that could be our downfall because, do you know what? Credit to him when we went to Chelsea, he done it really well. But Aaron Ramsey, who we were talking about just a few minutes ago, I feel like he needs to understand that at certain points in the game, when United have got possession, because they will have, he needs to sit with Xhaka and he needs to be disciplined and he needs to back him up. Mm. Too many times this season, it happened at Stoke, it happened at Liverpool. Just a couple of examples off the top of my head. He went on wild goose chases, pressing people high up the pitch and got caught out. So my concern going into the big games lately is always whether our midfield are going to sit and do their jobs. And you know what? If we win the game tomorrow, happy days, but we just can't afford to lose it. That's really important for me.
Yeah.
And I think Mourinho will probably approach it in the same way. What about you, Still? Where do you think it's going to be decided?
It's a tough one because as much as I don't have a problem with United going away from home and playing not to lose, because let's be 100% honest, I mean, if the league title is decided by one point and it's the difference between going to Arsenal, playing for a win and losing, or playing for a draw, I mean, people will laugh, but that's just my honest opinion. But I think tomorrow, I don't want to see us playing this very aggressive defensive mentality, because I know full well that Arsenal are the type of team that can pick us apart. Back in the day when it was the Invincibles, we always used to say, kick them, because they don't like it. Reyes didn't like it. Lundberg didn't like it. Bergkamp didn't like it. All these players, they didn't like being kicked. Because if you let Arsenal play, they will rip you to bits. They had movement, they had trickery, they had skill. They were almost the perfect team that Invincibles team. But now, I don't see Arsenal as... Okay, they're a great footballing team, but I think we can match you guys from a passing perspective because we got the players. We got your Pogbas. Yeah, Matic can play pass the ball. Valencia's good at getting forward. So we're pretty much even in that sense. The thing is, I don't want to see us playing long balls. I don't want to see balls up to Pogba because balls up to Lukaku because the way that he played against Chelsea, Azpilicueta is about the size of Jan Magin. You've seen how tall he is, right? And Azpilicueta moved him off the ball every time. Now, when you got Mustafi and Koscielny, they will love it. They will absolutely love it. So I don't want to see these long balls, but I wouldn't mind seeing balls in behind because I like to see Valencia against your left fullback, Kolasinac. I'd like to see if he can handle Valencia's pace. I don't think he's been tested yet, really, from a pace perspective, from a kick and run kind of thing. Bellerin against Ashley Young, well, that's going to be no contest because Bellerin will rip him to bits pace-wise, but it's up here where Ashley Young has got that edge. So I agree that the game will be won in the middle of the park. I think if Fellaini and Matic played, we'd have bullied you. But with Herrera possibly coming in, he'll probably be like an enforcer in the sense that he'll be probably chasing Ozil or chasing Sanchez. So I don't know. I don't want to see us playing this part of the bus kind of thing because I think you guys will pick us apart. You're not Liverpool. Liverpool didn't have that plan B. You guys do.
Yeah.
But having said that, again, when it comes to you guys, I think you guys have got mistakes in you at the back. I know you haven't conceded a goal with that three at the back that you got at the moment. But again, I don't think Mustafi is... and as established as he should be. I think with Koscielny, he's injury prone at the moment. You know, his hammy could go any time. Yeah. So I just think that both teams can really give it a go tomorrow and it'll be a very, very intriguing game. I'll be happy with a draw. But to be fair, I don't want to jinx the only thing. I can see you lot beating us. I can maybe see a 2-0 or a 2-1.
So is that your prediction?
Yeah, I'll go for 2-1. I'll go for 2-1 Arsenal.
I think Matic and Fellaini missing tomorrow is massive because in terms of Mourinho's tactics away from home in the big games, he does like them 6-foot plus
ogres.
Yeah, in midfield, who are going to win the ball in the air, who are going to bully you, who are going to, you know, make it difficult to break down. So if them two are out tomorrow, that's a big thing for us as well. That helps. I expect us to have the majority of the ball tomorrow, to be honest. I think it's all if we can break you down or not, really. I fancy us to do it. I'm going to go for 1-0.
1-0. I'm going to go for 0-0.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I think Arsenal will start fast. I think United will weather the storm.
Yeah,
United will have a period where they're on top, undoubtedly. Mm. But then I think it will get to the point where both managers will around that 65, 70-minute mark, where both will say, you know what, we don't want to lose this. Mm. And the game will just fizzle out.
Well, the thing is, we've got Champions League on Tuesday. And that's it's not a must-win game. I mean, if we lose 6-0, then we're out. But I don't think we'll lose 6-0 to us. But then again, you never know. So I think he's going to play a strong team tomorrow, his strongest team. If Matic is out, then chances are he'll probably go with probably Tuanzebe and Herrera. Or even McTominay, because of his physical presence, and they're not experienced. So we're going to be. Or he might even drop. See, there you go. He might even drop Pogba in the middle of the park with Herrera, and then play Kebab Boy or Mata. So yeah, if Mkhitaryan plays, then you've won. That's all I've got to say about that, man.
Let's see how it goes tomorrow. May the best team win. We'll leave.
Yes. We say that with gritted teeth.
Motherfuckers.
Exactly. Well, gents, shall we leave it at that? What do you reckon?
Yeah.
We good?
Yeah, I don't like to talk too much before games, to be honest.
Yeah, I know, mate.
Putting the fingers afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Well, gents, thank you very much, man. It's been an impromptu show. It's been a pretty interesting one because we've all sat on the fence, really, which is quite remarkable because I think it just shows our professionalism.
That's right.
I'll send you a WhatsApp at 7:30 tomorrow and see if
anything. Yeah, WhatsApp conversation.
Great stuff. Well, gents, Twitter handles. You've got one, Harry. I don't know about you, Kiri. Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, I am. I'm a KCGuna1, I think.
KCGuna1.
That is right. I know everyone's Twitters and they don't know. Mine is at Harry Simeou, Symeou, and the show's one is at SofaSportsNews_.
When's your next one? Did I ask you?
You asked me the other day, actually. Yeah, we're going to do, we may possibly be doing one on Sunday evening. We may have a very special guest, but it's all to be
confirmed. Watch this space.
To be confirmed.
Excellent. Brilliant. Well, guys, if you're still watching, if you are, we're on Twitter at Shoot the Defence. I've actually changed my Twitter handle. It's now at the only still. See how self-obsessed I am. There you go. Yeah, but I'm surprised.
I didn't expect anything different from you, to be fair.
Yeah, but you know what? I was thinking, like, I've got to be a bit professional because I can't have On A Madness because obviously you're going to have people that are going to be, you can't say that. It's mental health, all that kind of stuff. I don't want to upset people these days. So I thought, let me try find one. And yeah, let me see if the only still exists. And it does. Of all the stells in the world, I'm the only one. Like what's his name?
That's it.
Yeah. So who's saying? What's that guy's name? I am the one and only. I forget his name. Chesney Hawks. There you go. Showing my age.
Right.
Well, gents, thank you very much. And guys, if you're still watching, take care.
See you later.